We come with questions. We come with ideas. We come with confusion. We come with doubt. We come with hope. We come with hunger. We come with need. We come together to worship. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for The Link, our weekly email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about life in this congregation and beyond. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. We have the playground down front, and we have Sunday school after the baptism this morning. A few important announcements coming up. Next Saturday is the FCC Natick Yard Sale, where we are going to participate in Earth Day by keeping all sorts of things out of the waste stream and making sure they are reused. There is a need, particularly, for four more people to help. 2 in the morning from 7 to 10, and 2 in the afternoon at around 2 o'clock. The 2 in the morning get to help put out all the treasures that haven't been gazed upon yet, and the 2 in the afternoon help get the treasures that are remaining packed up for the next cycle in their life. So thank you to everybody who has signed up so far. If we can have 4 more people to help, you can see Kirsten. Kirsten, raise your hand in the room. You can't see Gail because she's in the loft, so just see Kirsten. Thank you. Today at 2 o'clock is an opportunity for the whole community to gather for an interfaith panel. This is going to be a conversation about the conflict in Israel-Palestine, particularly from a Palestinian perspective. It's held at Christ Lutheran this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We're a co-sponsor, and if you're able to attend this afternoon from 2 to 4, I think you would find this very meaningful. If you can't attend, there may be a recording available. Let me know if you're interested. Lane has an announcement about coffee hour.
Yes. So those of you who've been here for a while, remember Bill Ladd would make these requests for people to sign up for coffee hour. He was, you know, if I'm down here in my energy, you know, Bill was, I don't know, like up here, right? So I don't have that, okay? So all I'm going to do is I'm going to bribe you, okay? So here's the coffee hour sign up. We have some open slots in June, July, August, whatever. Here's the deal. Today is Kirsten's birthday. Woo! And I made her a cake.
Does she like the cake?
She does not like the cake. Because the cake, I love the cake. It's an excuse to eat frosting, okay? It's 14 layers. Each layer is a crepe, which is just flour, sugar, and egg, a little salt. And between each layer is voluptuous amounts of chocolate frosting. All right, I used 2.5 containers of the frosting to make this cake, okay? So it's basically, you know, if you feel bad about just sitting in front of the TV with the little container eating it, this is the opportunity to just eat a cake now, okay? You could do the same thing, right? Right? So here's the deal. It's a round cake, but if you sign up, you get an end piece, okay? Now, I have a wise Alec, a nephew who says, you have a round cake, there's no ends on a round cake. Unless you're in like some cult, like Pythagoras cult, or, you know, it's a Japanese cone, right? But you'll see, when we're down there, I'll have 4 ends from that cake that's round, okay? And then we can sing happy birthday at the same time. So here's the deal. If you sign up, you get an end of the cake, all right?
And Lane, the people who, where are you going? The people who sign up, will they get coaching and mentoring in regard to coffee hour?
Yes. Okay. You can get a
coffee hour buddy. As we recover from that announcement and prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, just like that, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light. The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. In case I forgot to say it last time, I'm Lane. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "We will believe." The sun has risen and will rise tomorrow. We will believe. Spring has come and will come next year. We will believe. Love overcomes fear and will overcome again. We will believe. God is with us no matter what. We will believe. We will remind each other and we will believe. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 426, "I've Got Peace Like a River." You are invited to rise in body or spirit. Our centering prayer begins with a little bit of quiet. In the relative silence, try to let go of all your expectations for this time. Just breathe and be. Let us pray. We are locked in, God. Locked in rooms made out of our own fear, locked in by doors constructed out of our need for certainty, locked in and imprisoned with exhausting confusion. Break in, God of love, break in with questions and possibilities and hope. Wrap us in mystery and wondering and maybes. Help us be open and playful and free. Show us the beauty of not knowing, of asking questions without answers, and dreaming in possible futures. Meet us here and now as we pray to you with words taught to us by Jesus. Beloved center and source of our living, whose presence is heaven, your holy love fills creation. May your delight be fulfilled and your realm unfold among us, the visible world blossoming out of the unseen. We turn to you alone for our sustenance. The bread of life each day, set us free from our failings, as we set free all who have failed us. Lead us beyond our desires and save us from the grip of evil. For the world is with you. In eternity, which is in the present moment. Amen. The Gaelic blessing proclaims, deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the gentle night to you, deep peace of Christ to you. May you know that deep peace, feel that deep peace, and share that deep peace as we offer it to each other. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
Thank you.
Lane's wearing a lot of hats this morning. Thank you for everything you're doing, Lane. So our scripture reading this morning is the lectionary selection for the Sunday after Easter. Every year, this is the selection for the Sunday after Easter. So apparently the people who created the three-year cycle of readings thought it was important to revisit this passage regularly. This is the so-called story of Doubting Thomas. It's from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, and this story only shows up in the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John has been used as a tool to increase anti-Semitism, claiming that the Jewish community is responsible for Jesus' death. So we'll be using a translation called the Inclusive Version that takes that into account. Right before this story begins, John tells the Easter story, the story of Mary Magdalene meeting the risen Jesus in the garden, first mistaking him for the gardener. Then she ran and told the disciples. Hear what happens next.
In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked in the room where the disciples were for fear of the temple authorities. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Having said this, the Savior showed them the marks of crucifixion. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw Jesus, who said to them again, "Peace be with you. As Abba God sent me, so I am sending you." After saying this, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." It happened that one of the 12, Thomas, nicknamed Didymus, or twin, was absent when Jesus came. The other disciples kept telling him, "We've seen Jesus." Thomas's answer was, "I'll never believe it without putting my finger in the nail marks and my hand in the spear wound." On the eighth day, the disciples were once more in the room, and this time, Thomas was with them. Despite the locked doors, Jesus came and stood before them saying, "Peace be with you." Then, to Thomas, Jesus said, "Take your finger and examine my hands. Put your hand into my side. Don't persist in your unbelief, but believe." Thomas said in response, "My Savior and my God." Jesus then said, "You've become a believer because you saw me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them. Amen.
From the beginning of time, people have brought their children to religious communities to be baptized and blessed. In the presence of family, friends, and the spiritual community, children are given their names, and parents and godparents declare their responsibility and commitment to their children. We have gathered together for such a purpose today, to bless and baptize Zoe Lynn U. Deluding. In celebration of the light of God that dwells within Zoe, Sarah Lynn will light a candle for her baptism, and we invite Zoe to come forward, bringing with her parents, Nick and Wei, her godparents, Kim and Jeff, and her big sister, Alana, who was baptized at FCC Natick by Reverend Andy Burr. Does have to, yeah, I know. The switches with the toggles. The lighting. It's so much.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
All right. In all parts of the earth, from the earliest days of recorded history, parents have brought their children at a young age to a place of worship, sharing their joy and commitment with those of the wider community. In the spirit of this age-old tradition, we are about to consecrate this child to the love of God and the service of community of humanity. This is a public occasion shared by parents, family, and congregation in which we affirm our shared responsibility for the care and nurture of every child. It is our task to give children a safe and healthy world of peace and justice in which to grow, to share with them our ideals and hopes, and to learn from them the zest and wonder of life that we sometimes forget. It is for this purpose today that we bless and baptize Zoe.
Wei and Nick, in bringing Zoe to be blessed and baptized, you acknowledge that this child is a gift from the universe entrusted to your care, and you invite all of us to share some of the joy and responsibility that is yours as parents. You seek our support in your dedication to the task of fostering with love and guidance the fullest unfolding of the personality of your child. This ceremony reflects not only your gratitude for the child who has come into your family, but your understanding of the seriousness of the responsibilities you have undertaken as parents. So do you now commit yourselves to the best of your ability to parent this child with compassion, respect, patience, and love? Will you accept her and cherish her for who she is and who she will become? Will you help her to believe in herself and in the goodness of the world? Do you promise to do everything within your power to strengthen and guide her on a path of peace, generosity, respect, and compassion? If so, please answer, I will.
I will.
Thank you. The act of choosing godparents is an ancient tradition based on the wisdom that no matter how dedicated parents are, no one can raise a child alone. Both parents and children need the support and friendship of other loving adults. Nick and Wei have chosen Jeff and Kim to be Zoe's godparents. Kim and Jeff, by agreeing to be Zoe's godparents, you're agreeing to a special relationship with her. Do you now commit yourselves to the best of your ability to be a friend, mentor, and teacher to Zoe throughout her life? Will you accept her and cherish her for who she is and who she will become? Will you help her to believe in herself and in the goodness of the world? If so, please answer, I will. Thank you. Zoe has a wonderful big sister, Alana. Mm-hmm. Alana, we are asking you to make promises today as well. Do you promise to be a loving big sister to Zoe? Do you promise to help her see God everywhere? Do you promise to teach her all you can and learn all that she has to teach you? Most of all, do you promise to play with her, have fun with her, and be by her side through all the years of your lives? If so, please say yes. Excellent. Thank you, Alana. Zoe has her four grandparents with her today, including Wei's parents visiting from China. Would Zoe's grandparents please stand? Guli, Yajuan, Joseph, and Nancy, would you please stand? You have loved not only this child, but also her parents, who, with a love that survived and grew through every phase and awkward stage, through sleepless nights of worry, through accomplishment and joy. Your children are on a journey you know well. Bless them and your grandchild with your wisdom, presence, and support. To Zoe's grandparents, I ask, do you pledge unconditional love, abounding playtime, understanding ears, and sanctuary within your very arms? If so, please say, we do. Very well done. You may be seated.
All right. I ask those people in the congregation to please stand. It is a joyous moment when we join with children and parents in the celebration of baptism. Do you, the members of the congregational family, receive Zoe into your love and care? Do you join her parents, Wei and Nick, in sharing responsibility to nurture the character and spirit of this flowering new person? And do you offer the sheltering arms of this fellowship to these parents and this child? If so, I invite you to rise and declare the promise printed in the bulletin and on the screen.
Zoe, we welcome you into the family of faith. God grant you strength for life's journey, joy in your faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ, who makes us one.
You may be seated. Now, I invite all the children present to stand. So if you can hear me and you think you're a child, you can stand. We've got a few back here. Yep, yeah, that's okay. You're only a birthday girl today, Kirsten. You are closest to Zoe in age. I'm going to look this way because most of them are over here, but I'm talking to you too, Rachel. You will be working and playing and learning side by side with her. As she grows, she will look to you. Will you be her friend? Will you be kind and fair to her? Will you show her the best in you that she might discover the best in herself? If you promise to do these things, I want you to say it really loud. Please answer, I will. I heard it over there. Can you answer, I will?
I will.
All right. All right, you may also be seated. All right.
I shall now present Zoe to the congregation. Zoe, this is your community of faith. They are here to support you and be present to you throughout your life. They are here for all of your questions and challenges. They will make sure there are always good snacks at coffee hour, so there will be something for you to enjoy after godly play. They will tell you the stories of Scripture and be so ready to hear the wonderings that you will bring. I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to tend to put you to work. This year, you get the yard sale off, but I really can't promise that in the future. I have a feeling they're going to want to help you to help sort the toys. Zoe, there will be no shushing in this church. We celebrate your joyful noise, even though you are one chill baby. Zoe, welcome to your family of faith. One chill baby. After the ancient custom, we use water in our celebration. It speaks of the affinity we have to the natural order. It's a sign of purity. It quenches the body's thirst. Quite literally, it sustains life. In this rite, it symbolizes the water of life abundant, for which humankind has thirsted through all the ages. Let us join together in prayer to bless the waters of baptism. Okay, Alana, this is the messy part. Watch. God, whose love flows like water, swirl around us with your joy. Flood us with your hope. Let us drift on your peace. God, whose love flows like water, you surround each of us in an ocean of love and connect us one to the other, creating a dynamic family. God, whose love flows like water, you are the clear, cool pond that cleanses and refreshes our body, mind, and spirit, making us new. God, whose love flows like water, bless this water by your spirit. Let it be a symbol for us all, and especially for Zoe, that you are the water of life. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to take her back.
Hi. It's just one more time. It's just one more time. And we're not going anywhere this time, okay? All right. Did you want to see? All right. You okay? All right.
What name have you chosen for this child? Child, your name was chosen for you with care and love. In this circle of family and friends, you are named Zoe Lynn. May your name be spoken with love throughout all your years. Zoe Lynn, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I dedicate you to a life of beauty, truth, and love in abundance. Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
We give Zoe a book. Let us bring our hearts together to pray for Zoe. Spirit of life, as we look into the face of this child, we remember again that life is a gift. It is a mystery. It is sacred. We pray in thanksgiving for the new life that has been born into this family and community. May Zoe's days be full of love, and may she grow up sure and loving, kind and strong. We pray for her parents, Nick and Wei. Give them strength and patience and great joy as they help their child to grow. We pray for all the world's children, that they may have safety and peace and love. And we pray for ourselves that we may be worthy of our children's trust. Amen.
Amen. Congratulations to Zoe and her family. As the rest of our kids get ready to head off to godly play, we bless them all.
You're gonna come to godly
Amen.
Play? Come on, let's go.
Congratulations. Yeah. Looks like.
You know, our youngest kid, Lincoln, is currently in Spain for a semester abroad. He has one more month to go, which is good for us, but sadly, it means he will not be there in July for the running of the bulls. We were hoping he'd get a chance to see the bullfighters waving their red capes to irritate the bulls, which led to a conversation about why would the color red make bulls mad? Do you know? Because it doesn't. Bulls are colorblind. Don't care about the red at all. So many things we think we know turn out to be wrong. So our oldest son is moving to New Zealand this summer for school, so I was wondering if his dorm toilet truly will drain in the other direction, and apparently that is usually the case. Doug, I was not testing that out this morning when the toilet broke in the ladies' room. So this got me thinking about other facts I don't know if I can trust or not. Can you see the Great Wall of China from space? No, not with the naked eye. Mm. And you've heard that different parts of your tongue can detect different tastes, sweet and sour. Apparently a myth. Yeah, and giraffes and humans having the same number of neck bones? That is actually true. We both have 7, it's just that theirs are larger. We think we live in such a wise age. We know the earth is round and revolves around the sun after all, and yet it is still so easy for us to be wrong about so much. In an age of truthiness and rampant conspiracy theories, it is not only reasonable but probably wise to be just a little bit skeptical about things. And yet in pulpits around the country today, doubting Thomas will get a bad rap. Preachers will lift up the disciple Thomas as an example of what not to do. Don't give in to doubt. Just believe. Have faith. First of all, portraying Thomas as a bad guy, they're saying that he wanted to see the risen Jesus with his own eyes, and that makes no sense. Remember how Easter starts in the Gospel of John. Mary meets Jesus in the garden. The women are first. Mary goes and tells the disciples that she has seen him. Instead of like running to the garden to see him, to meet Jesus, they lock themselves in a room. Jesus magically appeared, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw him. But Thomas missed Jesus' visit and said he'd believe it when he saw it for himself, like the other disciples did. All of Jesus' followers doubted he was somehow alive again until they saw it for themselves, because of course they did. By the way, there is one exception. One disciple allegedly believed without seeing, and that ties into why Thomas is picked on in this passage, but I don't have time to get into it today, so you will have to wait until next year. Because we need to talk about Zoe. Little Zoe, just over a year old. Her dads bring her here today to be blessed and baptized, and we surround her with all sorts of things that we believe. But chances are, Zoe will doubt those things someday. Her dads promised her they will accept her and cherish her for who she is and who she will become. What about when it seems like she's becoming a rude, lazy, rebellious teenager? When Nick and Wei are setting consequences and curfews, maybe even yelling, she might doubt she is accepted and cherished. This morning we declared that the light of God dwells within Zoe. She's a beautiful and beloved child of God just as she is. But when she gets fired from a job or her marriage falls apart, she might doubt she is a glimpse of the divine. The whole ritual of baptism starts with the recognition that it is our task to give children a safe and healthy world of peace and justice in which to grow. I'm glad Zoe doesn't really understand those words yet, because otherwise she might doubt that such a task is even possible. The reasons for doubt go on. In godly play, she'll hear stories of seas parting and bread multiplying. In worship, she'll sing hymns about God creating the earth and writing a promise in a rainbow. Heck, she just heard a story about somebody coming back to life after the powers that be killed him. If she is anything like the confirmation youth I've worked with over the years, she'll be doubting all of that before you know it. Yeah. And that, my friends, is the good news. I firmly believe in doubt. Doubt leaves room for new truths to emerge, for God to speak in new ways, for understanding to be clarified. Doubt goes hand in hand with humility and creativity and movement. Doubt is playful and welcomes mystery and leaves room for growth. It happens every few days. I'm meeting with a lay leader or visiting with someone dealing with a life change, and the person lowers their voice and says, "I'm not sure I believe all the stuff we say in church." Or their eyes won't meet mine as they whisper, "I'm not sure I believe in God." Clearly, this sort of sharing is an act of great bravery, because the folks expect that I believe everything we say in church, and I always believe in God, and so does everybody else within the sound of my voice, and anyone who feels otherwise better shape up. But when I was a child, I believed in a God with a white beard on a cloud who could speak in a booming voice. Today, I believe in a force of life and love present in all things. Can I scoff with superiority at the child and be certain my 55-year-old perception is the right one? I can certainly be grateful for the sense of the divine that gets me through life's challenges and calls me to action, but sensing and certainty are not the same thing. I guess what I want to make perfectly clear is that Zoe's doubts are welcome here, and so are yours. The things you wrestle with, the notions you've rejected for the moment, the beliefs you wish were written on your heart, but the print keeps fading. We don't have to believe in the same things. We don't have to have all the answers worked out. There is not a litmus test for singing in the choir, or being the lay reader, or serving communion, never mind receiving it. Our honesty and our questions are the offerings we bring to God, even when we're not sure we believe in the God to whom we bring them, because they reveal who we are and lay bare our vulnerable core. And we bring these doubts to each other so we can wrestle with them together, borrow faith when we need to, and be with each other in the beautiful, creative mystery of life. So when Zoe, or any teenager, is doubting if we will accept her and cherish her for who she is and who she will become, we will keep showing her in word and deed that there is room for her and all of us here. And we'll give her parents compassion and care for those teenage years. When Zoe doubts that the light of God dwells within her, we will tell her how brightly it shines until she can see it again. And we'll let her light brighten our own. And when Zoe doubts that we are up to the task of giving all children a safe and healthy world of peace and justice in which to grow, we might honestly share that we're wondering about that ourselves. So we're glad she's here to help. No doubt about it. Amen.
As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you're invited to share your prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Doug. Pam has not been feeling well. She's got it all figured out now, and it's so good to see you with us here this morning, Pam. Yeah. Other joys. Gail, do you have any joys up there? I feel like I need one more. Folks at home, what you cannot see is that Miriam has stolen Zoe, and is totally happy, and Zoe might not be going back. We certainly celebrate the joy of Zoe this morning. Lorraine. Lorraine had a successful heart procedure this week after machine not working once, and we are so glad that that procedure has been successful. Heather. Heather has two joys this morning. One is babies in the sanctuary, always babies and children in the sanctuary, always joyful noise. And in a turn of the tide for Heather's prayers this morning, the joy that the courts seem to be making some progress. Amen. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Pam. Autism. Pam is lifting up the comments RFK Jr. made this past week about folks living on the spectrum, and we know very well the richness that attached to neurodiversity and how important it is for us to understand the breadth of human expression and experience rather than narrowing down our perspectives on humanity. So we stand with those who live with autism, those who love those who live with autism, and we will continue to speak out and create a community that welcomes and supports those of that neurodiversity. Thanks, Pam. Other concerns this morning? Gail, do you have any concerns up there? Our prayer this morning is by Christine Sine. Let us pray. Spirit of God, may we breathe in and hold your love within us. May we breathe out and share it with the world. Spirit of God, may we breathe in and hold your peace within us. May we breathe out and share it with the world. Spirit of God, may we breathe in and hold your life within us. May we breathe out and share it with the world. Amen. I don't know where Elaine went. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Amen. 1,754 servings of spaghetti and meatballs, 2,001 dishes of mac and cheese, 332 servings of lasagna, 913 dishes of plain old pasta and butter. That is the future for Mount Pasta. This month, we set a goal of collecting 1,000 boxes of pasta, the minimum amount our local food pantry, A Place to Turn, needs each month. We didn't quite make it from our collections, but the outreach budget will make up the difference, and we have a new plan for when our turn comes up again. So a box of pasta has about 5 servings, which means there will be about 5,000 individual meals made from Mount Pasta. 5,000 times a child doesn't go to bed hungry, or 5,000 times someone can take leftovers for lunch to work, or 5,000 times a family can sit down to dinner together. There are lots of ways to do the math, but what really counts is that folks get a little bit of help in tough times. None of this would be possible without your generosity. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, these aren't offering plates we pass from hand to hand. They are pasta bowls for feeding our neighbors. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you.
Join me in blessing Mount Pasta. God of love, bless elbows and noodles and fettuccine and those little shells. May they feed body and spirits and connect us to each other as we continue to build not just a mountain of pasta, but your kingdom in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 520, Restless Weaver. Amen. You may be seated. Hear these words by Dr. Edmund Jones. Life is short, and we do not have too much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So be swift to love, and make haste to be kind. And may the divine mystery, who is beyond our ability to know, but who made us, and who loves us, and who travels with us, bless us and keep us in peace. Amen.